Well, at this time, I invite you to turn in the scriptures to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 13. Matthew, chapter 13. This is found on page 971. Matthew, chapter 13. This portion of scripture is found in all three of the Gospels that appear and look alike, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. There is a time of or a transition of focusing on the teaching ministry of Christ. We've heard that He is one who does not teach like the scribes and the Pharisees, but rather He teaches as one who has authority. And when we read something like that, we wonder, what does His teaching sound like? Well, here we have it. Whether we're reading in Mark 4 or Luke 9 or Matthew 13. And so we come to this portion here. Now, let me say one more thing about the Gospel of Matthew then, and then we'll get into our text. In Matthew's Gospel, it is believed that the gospel is built around or written around five major discourses or teachings, extended passages of the teaching of Jesus. You're probably familiar with Matthew 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount. And then in Matthew 10, we have what's often called the Lesser Commission, where Jesus commissions His disciples to go out and preach the gospel. And Matthew 13, here we have a series of parables, multiple parables about the kingdom of heaven. And then in Matthew 18, we have the discourse on the church, where Jesus reveals much about the church. And then in Matthew 24 and 25, we have that discourse that He gives on the Mount of Olives as He's looking down upon Jerusalem and talks about the future. Those are the five discourses. If you've never heard that before, you can take a look at that. But in this third discourse here, this teaching opens with Jesus speaking many things to the crowd in parables about the kingdom of heaven. And so with that, let us give our attention to the Word of God in Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. That day Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. And large crowds gathered to Him, so He got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. And He spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places, for they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched. Because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil, and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." And the disciples came and said to Him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Jesus answered them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, 'You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. This ends the reading of God's holy and infallible word. May He bless it to our hearing this day. Well, here again we have Jesus speaking many things to the crowd in parables. And the first parable of the kingdom introduced is the sower and the seed. Now, what's clear is that Jesus' disciples find these parables unclear. And it's interesting, since you may hear time and again, as many talk about the teaching of Jesus, they'll say things like, Jesus was such a good teacher. He gave these simple and precise stories and parables. He made very clear the truth of God. And yet, we find many times people are asking, what does this even mean? More alarming is the answer that Jesus provides to the question, why do you speak in parables? Did you hear what he said? I use parables because the crowd will not believe and they do not understand the truth. And so I use parables because it hardens their heart. Imagine a pastoral candidate coming to a church, and one of the questions from the congregation is, well, what is your teaching method? And the candidate says, well, I actually both reveal and conceal the truth. I have a way of both showing people the mysteries of the kingdom while at the same time concealing mysteries of the kingdom to people. I wonder how many votes that guy would get. Now, here's Jesus, the greatest teacher who ever lived, who will ever live. And he's the greatest teacher not only because of the infallibility of the content that he provides for us, but also the influential style in which he teaches as one having authority. But this is a hard saying, that his teaching both reveals and conceals the truth. It does not seem infallible. It does not seem influential. And before we continue, I need to just clarify one thing. When Jesus says that he both reveals and conceals the truth, this does not mean that the Bible is unclear. The Bible is very clear. It is a word that is understood from the youngest of ages to the oldest of ages. It is understood by people of every social class, of every status of education. This is a word that is clear. But in saying that he conceals the truth, there is a meaning here. It is important that you understand that how you read the Bible is as significant as the fact that you read the Bible. Isn't that the very point of the parable of the sower and the seed? That it matters how we hear and receive the Word of God? The heart is the soil, and the Word of God is the seed. We are meant to prepare our hearts. We are meant to examine our understanding of the Word of God. We are meant to give attention to how we apply this Word to our lives. And God's redemptive purpose And his redemptive power is that you would hear and see, that you would understand and believe the Scriptures, that this would be the means by which you would know God. Jesus himself is responsible then. You can hear what he says. Jesus himself is responsible for the opening of our eyes and our ears to reveal the secrets of the kingdom. And who does he reveal the secrets of the kingdom to? Well, to those who see with eyes of faith the kingdom of heaven. He reveals the secrets of the kingdom to those who hear his call to enter his kingdom. He reveals the secrets of the kingdom to those who, with a repentant heart, return to God through Christ and are healed by him. And if we will not trust, and if we will not acknowledge Scripture's authority, if we will not acknowledge that the Scripture is the source of truth, the only rule for faith and life, then the kingdom will be concealed to us. One of the very important questions for you today in this sermon is this: how do you approach the Bible? How do you approach the Word of God? The main point then that we find in this passage is that Jesus uses parables to conceal kingdom realities from those who refuse to hear him, and he uses parables to reveal kingdom secrets to those seeking to hear and follow him. You hear that? Jesus uses this particular teaching to both judge and to save. I have two main points, really, in the sermon. The first point is this: what is a parable? Let's understand what a parable is. And then secondly, why does Jesus use parables? In which we have two answers. He uses parables to reveal kingdom secrets and to conceal kingdom realities. So, first, what is a parable? Look again at verse 10. Matthew 13, verse 10. The disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Now, the word parable sounds a lot like the Greek word parabaleo. Para means alongside, and baleo means to throw or to lay. So this means to throw or to lay alongside. It's not just a teaching or instruction, but it's a teaching or instruction of comparison. Comparison. When we use the word parable broadly, we mean it to speak of quaint stories with moral lessons. Jesus was not the first to give parables. The Pharisees often sought to explain the law by attaching parables to the law. They would give stories. Maybe you're aware of Aesop's fables. There's a crow and stones and grapes. There's foxes and there's dogs and bones. All these simple concepts, and yet the stories are given to provide moral lessons. Those are parables. In the Old Testament, the word parable included many different genres. It included allegories and proverbs and stories and poems and comparisons and so on. Often parables used an attention-grabbing illustration. There's one place where Jesus is accused of working with the devil, and Jesus responds with a very simple parable. But what he says is this: really, can Satan cast out Satan? That's a very simple way of stating it, but it gets your attention. You can think about it. How would Jesus be working with Satan if he's casting out Satan? Now, Jesus did not simply illustrate the truth, nor teach moral lessons with parables. Actually, what Jesus is doing is he is giving new revelation with parables. He is revealing to us the mysteries of His kingdom. Let me give you a very clear definition then of what we mean by parable. Parables provide a scenario or tell a story drawn from everyday life, making a comparison of the character's actions or decisions in order to reveal or conceal spiritual truth and realities related to the kingdom of God. You understand that? There's a comparison that is to be made. That's one of the keys of interpreting parables. But I'm not here to really talk much about today how to interpret parables. So as you read the Gospels, you see that there are those who gather to hear Jesus, who follow Jesus, who eat with Jesus. And these are often distinguished from the oppressive crowds, the blasphemous scribes, the proud relatives of Jesus. And in verse 10, what we see is that these disciples are drawn into private ministry with Jesus. It says they came to Him. The disciples came to Him, and they could ask Him a question. And that is often a theme, the idea of outside and inside. And it really connects with how Jesus answers. Why do you speak in parables? Why do you use parables to speak to them? And what does He say? Well, to you, it is to make known the mysteries of the kingdom. See, you are with Me. You're on the inside. What's fascinating, though, is that those who are on the inside, the way that they're questioning, it's very critical. It might not be so obvious if you just read it. Sounds like a sincere question. Help us understand. What is the use of the parable? When Mark gives this narrative, he actually uses the word interrogation. Not that they asked Him, but they interrogated Him. See, they're being critical. They challenge Jesus. There's probably various thoughts going in their heads. They're probably embarrassed or frustrated as Jesus is telling parables out there. Why are you telling these confusing stories? Why are you talking about farmers and seeds? Why are you talking about dough and yeast and... Couldn't you just speak plainly about your plans to overthrow our oppressors, Jesus? Aren't you the Messiah? Can't you just speak disapprovingly of Rome like everyone else does? They're frustrated. Why are you not, really, what's behind the question is this, why are you not clearly telling us about your kingdom? But what they don't appreciate is that every parable is about the kingdom of Christ. Every parable is the sermon. It's not just an illustration of the sermon. It is the sermon. God speaks to us in many ways through history, parable, narrative, argument, song, proverb, letters. Isn't it amazing? And here we have included in that list parable, in which the kingdom of Christ is revealed to us. So, the first part of the whole point is this, that the parable is about the kingdom. That Christ is speaking in a way that reveals great things. But I want you to notice something else, that when Jesus uses the parable, when He is making these comparisons, when He's drawing out realities of His kingdom, you hear the parable and you're called to an immediate response. Jesus says in verse 9, "He who has ears, let him hear." You're not supposed to sit there and hear a story and think, "Well, that's a neat little story." You're supposed to hear the story and think, "How does that relate to faith and life? What are the truths that are in this story?" He who has ears, let him hear. I'm using some Greek in today because I want you to appreciate where we get these words from. To hear in the Greek is this word, akoue. Do you hear that? It sounds like acoustic, to hear. But there's another word. If I add the word hyperakoue or hyperakoue, like hyperhearing, you know what that means? It means to obey, to keep the word. In other words, children, how do you know if you have heard your mom or your dad? How do you know that you've heard them? Well, you know that you've heard them because you're obeying them. You're doing what they say. And so Jesus here is saying, he who has ears, let him hear. I think everyone here has ears. I don't think Jesus is saying something just about having physical ears. He's saying that if we have the right kind of spiritual ears, then we will not only hear but obey these parables. Every parable of Jesus calls for you to trust God and to commit yourself to Him. Every parable is a call of faith and repentance in your life. That almost answers really my second question. Why does Jesus use parables? He uses parables to call us to faith in life. He uses parables to call us to trust in God and to live our life for Him. But Jesus does reveal, actually, that He has a twofold purpose in using parables. And that brings us to our second point. We know what a parable is. We understand Jesus using it. We understand that there's a call in it. But do you understand why He uses the parable? Look at verse 11. Jesus answered them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted." So first, what we have is Jesus telling us that He uses parables to reveal kingdom secrets. Despite their confronting Jesus, He responds with these significant words of affirmation and fellowship. You know, they're interrogating Him. Why would you use the parable? And He says, well, I use the parable because for you it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Like, this is for your good. The word here, mysteries, it actually sounds just like the Greek word mysterion. Mysterion, mystery. This is another way of translating this is the word secret. Now, most people, or I should say people often don't like secrets. People don't like not being in the know. But when do you like secrets? When you know the secret. See, all you're smiling. When you know the secret, that's when you enjoy the secret. And what's being said here is this, is that God is letting us in on His secrets. Now, the word mystery here, I need to clarify a little bit. It's not just the word for secret. This word mystery is actually fairly technical, and it's used some like 13 times in the New Testament. And here's what it means. It means God's wisdom that was partially hidden or veiled in the Old Testament, whether in predictions or communicated through pictures or symbols. It is the partially hidden wisdom of God. And it's quite a fascinating thing to think about. Jesus did not come to simply give us all new information and we can just throw out the Old Testament. Everything that was revealed by the Word of God in the Old Testament, Jesus comes and He helps us understand it. Like, it was always there. One of my favorite things to look at, you know, in that way is like the doctrine of the Trinity. Appreciating that the Father and the Son and the Spirit were all present and active and revealed in the Old Covenant, and yet in a partially hidden way. The sacrifice of Christ, the cross of Christ, was revealed to us in a partially hidden way. The resurrection of Christ, the ascension into heaven, the sitting at the right hand of God, the glory that awaits us, all partially hidden in the Old Testament. What an amazing thing. And Jesus comes to help us see all of that. Notice that he says here that it has been granted to you to know. These are not things that can be grasped by natural means. You need spiritual disclosure, spiritual understanding. And you can understand the kingdom of God because faith that is trusting in God, understanding the will of God, this is the key that unlocks these parables. One of the greatest tragedies in the days of Jesus was that their anticipated Messiah, the anticipated Messiah of the Jews, shows up, and what do? They reject Him. And Jesus responds to them that at the heart of their rejection is really a rejection of the Word of God. O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. John 5:39, you search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about Me, and you're unwilling to come to Me so that you may have life. Jesus came explaining to them the meaning of the Scriptures. All of this points to Me, and all of this points to your salvation in Me. To be saved included having these Old Testament mysteries opened up. Well, you see in verse 12 there, Jesus reveals something further. Whoever has, to him more shall be given. He will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. And this is a judgment that's stated really against the people of God. The people of God who had the Word of God, and yet they would not receive the Word of God. They would not trust the Word of God. These parables then, they were meant to promote the growth of the people of God. And yet some people would reject such parables, therefore they would not receive the wisdom that comes and the understanding that comes with them. Notice though what he says here, that whoever has, to him more shall be given, he will have an abundance. Do you understand the abundance that you have in possessing the Word of God? The content is kingdom realities. Let's just think about this for a minute. In our own context, there is some degree of mistrust with our government. People talk about it all the time. You know, what's going on in the government? What are they plotting and what are they planning? And of course, you know, they look down upon other people who think that the government's not plotting or planning anything. And those people are like, you guys are crazy conspiracy theories and theorists. And that's really creates all kinds of debates within our own society. Jesus is saying that there are greater realities that you need to know. There is a cosmic agenda, a worldwide agenda, And God is not sitting on His throne and keeping it a secret from us. He has actually revealed it to us. He has let us in. There's no conspiracy. The kingdom of God has been revealed to us. We know all of the realities of the kingdom. We know everything that's going to happen. We know about God. We know of God's covenant. We know of the gospel and of the new birth, of godliness. We know of Christ's indwelling, of the fullness of the Gentiles, of the restoration of the Jews. We know of the man of sin. We know of the resurrection. We know of the last things. And everything I've just said there, the word mystery is connected to somewhere in the New Testament. Do these truths impact your life? Are you more concerned with these truths? Are you talking about these realities more than talking about what the latest conspiracy theory is or what the latest debate is that's going on in society? We know the realities of the kingdom. The secrets have been opened up to us. Do you see your life as different from the way that the world lives, caught up in the things of this world, caught up in the things that are going to all burn away? Look what Jesus says in verse 16, "Blessed are your eyes because they see, your ears because they hear. Truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, to hear what you hear and did not hear it." This is why Jesus would say this, even the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the closest to everything that was promised and anticipated in the Old Testament. And he set the stage and prepared the way for Jesus to come. And yet even the youngest in the new covenant. Children, you understand, you know more about the promises and the anticipations of the Old Testament than even the prophets did back then. You know more. God has opened up to you the mysteries of the kingdom of God. We read the prophets of the Old Testament and are like, I don't understand this. Just like we read today, Nebuchadnezzar's like, I don't understand what my dream means. We read it, and we're like Daniel saying, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. I know exactly what that's talking about. There are kingdoms that are going to rise and fall, but the kingdom of Christ will stand forever. Blessed are your eyes and your ears. But that does bring us to a second point then, doesn't it? Because there are those to whom it has not been granted. And what a pitiful thing that is. What a sad and tragic thing this is. Verse 13, I speak to them in parables because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Jesus uses parables to conceal kingdom realities. This is probably not the answer that the disciples were expecting. Why do you speak in veiled stories? Well, because I speak in veiled stories to veil the truth. What? Jesus explains first that he is unveiling his glory and his purpose to his followers. But he also explains, I am veiling my glory to those who willfully reject my plain teaching and ministry. Those who stand outside and discredit the ministry get everything in the parables. They see and they hear, but intentionally they refuse to understand. They purposely choose not to believe. In one place, Jesus says this, because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Talk about hardness of heart. Oh, if God would just come and reveal himself and tell me the truth. Well, guess what? He did. And guess what? We don't believe those things by nature. This is how rebellious we are by nature. Jesus tells us the truth, but we hear it as undecipherable secrets. We hear it as stories, little quaint stories. And the reality is that we don't want to decipher it. Or worse, we want to make it mean what we like. Notice that Isaiah is brought into all of this. We don't have time to really get into all of that. But here's the real point. When Jesus says that He speaks in parables both to reveal kingdom secrets and to conceal kingdom realities, you understand there, He's not talking about the world. If you haven't been listening, I want you to hear this. Jesus is saying that He gives His parables to the people of God so that some in the people of God, some associated with the people of God, some in the church, would actually not understand. Why? Because they don't want to understand. Because in seeing, they will not see. In hearing, they will not hear. Their hearts remain dull. Is Jesus talking about you? Doesn't that just cause you to kind of just stop for a minute? Is Jesus talking about me? We are a people who have the Word of God. But do we trust the Word of God? Are we nourished by the Word of God? Do we abide in the Word of God? Do we stay in the Word of God? Or is it just that thing that collects dust on our shelves? Sorry, not that thing. I know we all have more than one copy of it in our shelves. Those things. Are we a people who are willing to exchange the truth for a lie? Are we a people who would rather have our religion than God's religion? Are we a people who would rather have our version of a Savior rather than God's version of the Savior? Are we a people who would trade our idols? Or trade, that is, the true living God and His Word for our idols? These people were not only rejecting the prophet of God, they were rejecting God Himself. They heard Jesus speak the Father's will. They saw Jesus demonstrate the Spirit's power. They witnessed the very love of Christ, and yet they refused to see what was so obvious. And so Jesus spoke veiled sayings to their veiled hearts, that they would remain veiled. What an indictment. What a condemnation. How do we take comfort in a passage like this? Well, two chapters earlier, Matthew 11, Jesus reveals to His hearers that really we need the grace of God to hyperhear, that is to obey. Matthew 11, 25, I praise You, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that You have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent, or the self-proclaiming wise and intelligent, and You have revealed these things to infants. And then He turns to the crowd and He says this, now, all you who are weary and who are overburdened with a heavy burden, come to Me and I will give you rest. And you know who went to Him? The ones to whom it was revealed that they were heavy burdened and needed His rest. How about you? Maybe this is your first time at church. Have you given your attention to the voice of Jesus? Maybe you've been coming to church for a long time. Have you stopped listening to Jesus? Have you turned away from portions of the Bible because you've been offended by the truth? Or have you turned away from the Scriptures because you've found other and more important things to do? Or you've given your time to reading the Bible, but as soon as you walk away, you forget what you read because you really didn't apply it to your heart. You cannot afford to close your eyes and your ears to Jesus, lest you hear and believe not. John Calvin comments on today's passage, reminding us that the lack of clarity in the parables is not due to the parables themselves. The problem is really the hearts of sinful people. He said, "The Word of God in its own nature is always bright, but its light is choked by the darkness of men." Friends, here's the glorious thing. If you believe this gospel, if you believe this truth, it is because Christ has given you ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts to believe. Don't just take that for granted and just live in this life now and just kind of wait till the end. Continue seeing and continue hearing and continue believing and continue trusting and continue abiding and continue walking. Because this is a lifestyle. We are going all the way to our destination, which is in heaven, where we will hear the very voice of God and we will see His face. Now, let me bring this to one final conclusion then. The truth of Jesus in His kingdom really is about eternal life. We who know the realities of the kingdom of God, we've been let into the greatest secret of the world, which is really not a secret. It's been revealed. So many wonderful themes in the parables. And I would encourage you to give your time and attention to them. In the kingdom of God, there are spiritual realities that are clearer now than in the Old Testament types. There's more grace to more people than the nation of Israel. We can see Jesus in the gospel better than from the perspective of the Old Testament. But we can see better into the Old Testament. We've been found, and our sins have been forgiven, and our life has purpose and meaning. The parables reveal that we can come home to our loving Father and our gracious brother and to the fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Our earthly possessions are worth nothing, yet we are able to store up eternal treasures now. There will still be burdens and trials and enemies until the end, and there is a great cost of following Jesus. And yet it is nothing to be compared to that weight of glory that we shall possess in Christ. We are to remain watchful and worshipful, helpful and hopeful as the kingdom of God expands in this world. There is to be a wedding feast, and there is to be a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. We'll receive rewards. We'll give them back to Jesus because He earned them through us, and that is a great reward. There's so many glorious things in the parables. Greater than any Tolkien fantasy, greater than any Lewis fable, we have the realities of the kingdom of God. Well, I encourage you then to give yourself to the Word of God and to the parables of God, and that you would be able to more and more see the kingdom of Christ wherever you stand in your day-to-day life. Until you enter therein for eternity. Amen.